The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 582, recorded on August 10th, 2020.
Welcome to the 582nd edition of the TV Gaming Podcast and 415th episode of Video Game Roundtable. I am TJ Denzer.
And I am Jonah Falcon.
The VGRT Gaming Podcast focuses on game news from around the industry.
So, you weren't here last week. No, TJ isn't here this week, or at least he's kind of late. And I have
other way around. TJ is here.
Scott is not here. Let's start this episode over.
Okay.
The VGRT Gaming... No, stop. Hold on. Hold on. I forgot to close the door. Hold on. There we go. That's much better. Okay. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 562. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 582, recorded on August 10th, 2020.
You're coming in a little low.
There. The VGRT... No, that's all the way in my face. The VGRT Gaming Podcast, episode 582, recorded on August 10th, 2020.
Hello, and welcome to the 582nd edition...
Fuck it. There's no podcast this week. Good night, everybody. Good night.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, so last week, TJ wasn't here, and now this week, Scott is at the very least late, so we're having all sorts of problems with this podcast, which is a shame, because a lot of stuff has been going on this past week.
Oh, yeah.
Sony and Cyberpunk and all that stuff. No gaming flashback, although there's plenty of games we could have flashed back. So we'll go to what I've been playing, and I'm going to say I've been playing Colonization, the original 1994 game. Now, you may think, what about Grounded? Well, I've been taking my time on that, because I decided I'm just going to keep doing part 1, part 2, part 3 on the streams, so it's going to be nice and slow, and we're going to discover things together.
Fun.
And be a little closer to your mic again.
Yep. Moving closer.
Yep. I played a bit of Carrion, and there was a new game that I was playing, which for the life of me I can't remember now, which is kind of pathetic. If I'm starting to play, oh yeah, My Friend Pedro. Well, it's not a new game, and I'm beginning. Yeah, this is basically Hotline Miami, except it's a 2D platformer. I mean, you have a banana talking to you instead of a answering machine, but it's still the same vibe.
Yeah, I absolutely love Carrion. It's ridiculously fun. Like it's a turn your brain off and just go wild type game.
You know what? And I was thinking about what are the games of the half year, and people are starting to talk a lot about the new Fast and Furious game.
Really?
And I'm thinking, what? And then I say, okay, I can see why maybe some people are really, really enjoying it. Because it is Burnout. It is basically Burnout the way Burnout is supposed to be done, except with obstacles on the road. And it is over the top, like the Fast and the Furious.
Oh my God, it would have to be. Like, Fast and the Furious is basically a superhero movie where the superhero ability is cars.
Yeah.
I can't imagine, like, if they made a reserved Fast and Furious game, like, if it was just, like, normal and not ridiculous, that would be a crime.
But anyways, you know, and the thing, I've said this in the past, you know, I want Burnout back, damn it. You know, real Burnout, not Burnout Paradise. I want actual Burnout, and this looks like it might be it. I haven't played it yet, so I can't judge yet. All I'm going by are the trailers. And it does have a photorealistic Vin Diesel in it.
Yes. Probably not quite as good as his other game.
Oh, you mean it's Dark Athena?
Yeah.
Butcher Bay. No, wait. Damn it.
Yeah, Escape from Butcher Bay.
Escape from Butcher Bay. Dark Athena, I heard, actually is an expansion that makes it not as fun because it's way, way too hard.
Oh. Well, that's a shame. Escape from Butcher Bay is a really good stealth fighter game.
Yeah, but everybody hates the spider turrets, from what I understand.
Yeah.
But yeah, still playing Carrion. I'm playing that in bits and pieces. I'm getting far in the game, so you know, I've gotten beyond the part where you're making people puppets.
Oh yeah. You know, I still haven't
spikes and all that stuff.
It's really fun in that game and almost cathartic to mess with the people as you're killing them. Like, not necessarily just go out right after them, but like, I don't know. I've had a couple moments where I killed someone instead of eating them, I would like lift them up with my tendril and like peekaboo them over the edge of a ledge at them, and like, I don't know. I kind of make my own fun with that game.
Yeah. And we're not going to discuss it, but we have to talk about Fall Guys Ultimate Knockout, because it sold 2 million copies over the weekend.
I can discuss it because it's what I played this last weekend.
Okay, then go ahead, discuss it, and then I'll give my opinion.
Fall Guys is bubblegum American Gladiator.
Basically,
or Ninja,
yeah.
Or Ninja Warrior, or yeah. Wipeout.
With colored minions.
And actually, they themselves refer to them as jelly bean people.
Yeah, I was about to say, yeah, they call them jelly beans, but they're definitely minions.
I've been playing this for a little bit, just because it was a free game on PS4 when it launched, which is cool. That is the first time that's happened since Rocket League, where a game like launched free on PS Plus. And this has been blowing up all over Steam and Twitter or Twitch. Yeah. Everybody's been streaming it. I don't think it's that good of a game.
No.
But I do think it's charming and fun.
Here's the thing. It's an ephemeral game. And this game is going to be almost forgotten in like 6 months.
I hope not. They have...
It's going to be forgotten in 6 months. I mean, it won't even have the staying power of PUBG, which is the game that make the equivalent with. Because PUBG is not a very good shooter. I mean, it's not a very good deathmatch game. Basically, it's just deathmatch with a shrinking arena. That's all it is. And other people would have been able to do it better. I mean, PUBG was built with baling wire and stitches, you know. And this game is, you know, it's just, you're right when you say it's American Gladiators. I just don't think it's going to have any staying power. I think it might, I think once the novelty wears off, that's going to be it for it. And it's going to go down to its, a more respectable number, like 50,000 to 100,000 players concurrent, maybe. But even then, you know, it's just too lightweight. You know, a game I would rather play, I don't know if anybody, I don't know how much it blew up before, but I'd rather play Agario.
Agario?
Yeah. AGAR.io. It's that game in which you play agar, agar as in the bacteria, and you just go around eating things and getting bigger and bigger, and you try to avoid getting eaten. And that's all the game is. There are so many metas in that game, though. Like, when to split, when to be aggressive, you know, when to attack. And the bigger you are, you know, generally the less dangerous you get. It has so many things going on with it. Just watch any Let's Play videos or, like, Zero Punctuation's Don't Drown Out video of it. And it is, there's a lot of the quote-unquote strategy in Fall Guys is sub Mario Party. there's no real strategy at all except for deciding when you want to make your move.
There are multiple game modes in which you can, I feel, get better and figure out how to game the physics. Like there is a momentum in that game, and if you can learn to control it, then I mean, I've seen people that like.
I was wrong though. I'm not going to compare it to PUBG. I'm going to compare it to Totally Accurate Battle Simulator.
Oh yeah.
Have you seen that?
Yes, I have.
Okay, it's PUBG except played like Fall Guys, in which the physics is the boss, and just trying to capture grab something is an effort in itself. Like I said, you know, it's of the moment. Let's see how long it lasts.
It's an interesting situation that they found themselves in, because the game modes and the progression of the game itself is so very bite-sized that you cycle through game modes very quickly.
Well, that's the appeal of Mario Party.
But in Mario Party, you have the conduit of the board to take you to a more centralized and long-lasting experience.
That's the appeal of Duck Game.
And it takes a little, and because you have the board, it cuts up the pace between those game modes, and it takes you longer to cycle through them. Fall Guys, it's like if Mario Party, if you took out the game board and you just had the mini games, which ends up with you cycling through them very fast, and the repetition becomes pretty apparent pretty quickly, in my opinion. So this is becoming a situation where they're either going to have to A, create a level designer, which they've spoken to that they want to, but it would be extremely hard, and it's probably far off because the game is made in Unity and it's difficult to make tools. Or B, they're going to just have to be on top of getting content after content, new game modes and new courses out frequently.
With A, I would just say the modders would say challenge accepted.
Yes, it could be. It could
Modders
simply
would say
be a
challenge
thing
accepted.
Where, but here's it could the simply problem. Be a thing where you open up a Steam Workshop and let them go at it.
What happens when the cheaters start piling in? Then you really have a real problem, and it's not a question of if; it's a question of when. Because you can have any multiplayer game, there are people who will want their E-peen to be big and just cheat. So, we'll see. The other thing that we really should mention that happened in the past week is that Halo multiplayer will be going free-to-play.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people are thinking this is a brilliant stroke. And, you know, I mean, here's the thing, you know. Things have changed since Halo 3 was out, you know. I know there's Halo 5, you know, multiplayer. I never even remember Halo 4 multiplayer. Halo 4 is like this black void to me. It's like, did it really exist? Did Halo 4 really exist? It is one of those strange games that I just completely blank out on. But multiplayer has changed quite a bit. You have Call of Duty's free-to-play multiplayer. You have all these other things. And it only makes sense to make the Halo multiplayer free-to-play. I mean, they already have the rec cards in Halo 5, and it works really well. Like I said before, I don't have to really grind that hard to get gold packs if I want to get Halo 5 gold packs. And, you know, a lot of things about Halo are just a lot of cosmetics. You know? So what do you think of Halo Infinite going free-to-play, in terms of multiplayer anyway?
I am also hearing that there may be a battle royale mode, which this is
that's like saying, oh, there might be capture the flag.
Sure, I mean
there might be. Of course, there's going to be.
Yeah, which has some people got their underwear in a bunch, but like it's.
I was at E3 in 2019 last year, and I remember at the Microsoft. Press briefing, there were 50 Xboxes lined up in a row ready to play something, and they didn't play it. I'm going to tell you right now that they were going to do Halo Battle Royale live.
Yeah, And I mean, there's no harm in that, no, because clearly, I mean, look at Call of Duty Warzone.
Well, here's the thing. It's gotten Halo like 50. Halo gets a pass on this, though, because Halo has always had the usual, you know, deathmatch, team deathmatch, capture the flag. But they also have their weird game modes, too. They have the Griffball. They have all these other weird game modes. So why not Battle Royale?
Well, and I mean, they've clearly shown that it works. Warzone has gotten them over 50 million players.
Yeah. I mean, here's the thing. I'm pretty sure if they have a Battle Royale mode, it'll be a mode that's cycled. It will not be a mode, you know, that is always there, like capture the flag. It'll be like Griffball, you know. Oh, we're doing Halo mode. We're doing Battle Royale mode this time, and then we're going to go into Griffball, and then we're going to go into... Oh, damn. I forgot the name of the one with the skull. Is that Griffball? No. You know, the one in which you have to the one you have to get the guy who has the skull.
Yeah, it's like Bagman, but it's not called that.
But anyways, you know, it's probably just going to be a cycled multiplayer mode. And that's fine. You know, Halo's done that for 2 decades now.
It'll be interesting, though. This is a brave new world for Halo.
Now, imagine... you know what I would like is that a game that predated all the other games in terms of Battle Royale was the Darwin Project. And what Darwin Project did, which I liked, was that you had teams. You know, teams of two. And if those two teammates were the only ones left, then they had to turn on each other. So I'd like to see that in the Battle Royale mode. In any game, really. Not just Halo.
Yeah. Apex Legends has the teams, but you don't turn on each other. You just win.
No, I want that final, like, yeah, it looks like we're going to win. We better start take 10 paces apart before we start shooting at each other. And they also had traps in Darwin Project, but they weren't invisible. So it's not like, you know, it's not a cheap death. Oh, and that reminds me, I've also been playing a lot of Town of Salem.
Yeah, you love this game. It's basically...
It's werewolf. It's yeah. Basically werewolf. But and there are things that irritate the living hell out of me. Like, here's the one thing that irritates the hell out of me. I have a beefy rig, and yet this game somehow manages to bring it to its knees and crash the computer. And crash it by eating up all the RAM. And it's made me suspect, and other people suspect, that are they bit mining on my computer? I would not be shocked. they already had back in 2019 a complete hack of their system, where all the passwords were eaten up. So, which didn't bother me because I logged in through Steam, so I didn't have to worry about it. So yeah. What else have you been playing? Oh, wait, before you do, I also have started playing Mass Effect 2 again. Oh, and that's another thing we should talk about. Something that's completely obvious. Yeah, there's a Mass Effect Trilogy remaster coming. And I'm hoping that they not only remaster, but they add stuff that should be in it. Like, if you get through Mass Effect 2 without anybody dying, you should be able to restart the game and get Legion early without be able to press the IFF whenever you want and not have it do it immediately after getting Legion. Because all that means is that you get Legion and that means the start of the game is ending, no matter where you are in the game. If you don't go after him immediately, you're going to have people die. I'd like to be able to press the IFF anytime I want. Anyways.
Interesting. You know, I feel like of all the games, the first one could probably do with, like, you know how they're doing Mafia, where they're going to remake, or like the second and third are going to get remasters, but the first is getting like full on remake. I feel like Mass Effect 1 could do with that.
I'm going to have to tell you something. Mass Effect 1's combat sucks, but you know, don't fool yourself. 2 and 3's combat also sucks.
Yeah, it's just so much more apparent in the first one. It aged like milk. Like, not the story. The story is still great. But the combat is just god awful.
Yeah. I mean, they have the thing in which you don't have ammo, you have weapons that overheat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they said, that's stupid, and they replaced it with recoil. They replaced it with heat sinks in the second and third games. Yeah, fuck that noise. You know, although I will say, you know, when you had the Spectre pistol and you are maxed out on pistols, it never overheats. So you can just keep on firing away from now till eternity. It won't overheat.
Uh-huh.
So. And I really should be playing 2 on Insanity, because I can, but it's like, I just want to play for the story. I don't care about the combat. I'll get the 2 achievements someday in the future. Now the question is, I hope that they release it with achievements on Windows so that I can play Mass Effect on my PC. It'd be a lot easier to stream and have people watching me go through the story.
For sure. And I feel like they should. They're pretty much at the point where, like, if they're releasing a thing and it's, like, on the Xbox, it will probably be on PC as well.
Yeah. So anyways, what do you say you were also playing?
Let me...
Just look at your play sheet.
I do have to look at my play sheet. There's so many games.
Yeah, as an adult, it's sort of like when you're a kid, it's like, I only have a few games to play, so I'm just going to focus on that. And when you're an adult, I have too many games, and I can't choose which ones I want to play.
Oh, I wanted to talk about this really badly last week, but okay. I totally got the chance taken away from me. There's this game that I've been playing called Fae Tactics.
Oh, yes. Yeah. As a matter of fact, yes. We actually talked about it last week, and it's Final Fantasy meets Pokemons.
It's very it's Final Fantasy Tactics in particular.
Yeah, but you raise your own creatures.
Yes, well, sort of.
Well, here's the thing: you only have hero characters, and in order to have additional units, you have to get additional creatures.
Yeah,
you
have to defeat them on the battlefield, and sometimes they'll drop a rare drop their card. And you collect that card, and you can summon them into battle. And you're right, you can level them up.
It's more like Persona in that way, actually.
Mm-hmm. It's very cool. I love the game. It's it seems simplistic, because there aren't too many menu systems to it.
And it also looks like a SNES game.
Oh, yeah. The only problem I have
with that game is that it's too pixely.
It's too
pixely.
Especially on, high resolution, you really see that. That said, the story is fun. The characters are fun. I love the element system. And I like all of the attributes that every character has. Because, they have this thing where, when a character takes their turn, they'll do something different based on whether they attack an enemy, whether they wait and do nothing, or whether they support an ally. Yeah. So, the main character, she's a arcane magician. And if she attacks an enemy, she'll just throw a bolt at them.
By the way, which platform are you playing this on?
I'm playing this on PC.
Okay.
It's only on PC for right now, as far as I know. It's only available through Steam.
I saw the trailer at the Xbox showcase.
Oh, they might be putting it on Xbox. I don't know that it's launched on any consoles yet. It may. They may have updated since.
It's made for console.
God!
I'm willing to bet you right now that the first console it'll hit will probably be, of course, the Switch.
It has to, right? But yeah, so you have this. If you have her attack an enemy head on, she'll throw an arcade bolt at them. If you have her wait, then she'll charge up, and then the next time she attacks, the bolt will chain between multiple enemies. And if you put her next to an ally and then focus her action on the ally, she'll boost their critical ability, their percentage chance to do a critical hit.
By the way, I think you should mention that, unlike other games of this ilk, there are no menus.
Yes. They're literally, the only type of menu there are is that you can, look at whatever character you're controlling.
Yeah, it's a character screen. It's not a menu.
And cycle through their attributes.
Yeah.
But other than that, no. Everything is just, either attack or wait or support an ally.
The other thing is that since it uses the card system for allies, you have how many characters do you perform as? Just one or two? I'm trying to remember.
You can have up to three you have three hero characters per match, and then you can have up to three monsters.
Right. So the thing I'm getting at is that character development is a major part of this game, because you don't have to worry about, oh, I have to deal with this character, this character, this character, this character. No. Just focus on your main characters. You don't have to worry about the rest, because you're just summoning monsters.
That's a thing that it does also that I really like, that that respects your time. The characters that you're not using will level up incrementally in the background.
Yeah.
Which is awesome as a time saver. I hate games that force me to grind a character that I'll need later.
Yeah. I'm just saying, it'll say, you know what, you just like this character? Fine. Fine. You can just deal with this character. The other characters, whatever.
Mm-hmm. And, like, pretty good story, too. I have enjoyed it so far. Like, it has a very, very branching path where, like, you can pursue different narratives at once. But, like, it's a pretty decent, passable story, and I enjoy the characters so far. There's a race of bird people called the Piopio, and one of them is a boxer, a prize fighter, and he looks like if a chocobo was Don Flamenco from Punch-Out. He's got a very brash and a little bit romantic persona about him. But he's also just like punchy as all get out. I love him.
You know, the other thing is that from other people I've spoken to, while there's no menus and there's very little instruction, I hear that the game is extremely intuitive. You know, it's like you don't have to think too hard. If you think it should be able to do this, then it'll do it.
It's not only intuitive, but there's a depth to it where, like, if you crack the puzzle and figure out how to position your units, you can do some devastating combos.
Yeah. The only thing is that, you know, the attempt to look like a DS game, unfortunately, turns me off. I mean, I played Final Fantasy Tactics on the DS, you know, and I also played Advance Wars. And the thing is that, you know, if they had gone with a higher resolution and, you know, gone the Ooblets route, because the Ooblets goes for a console look, but it also is very sharp, you know, I would probably be more interested in playing it. But, you know, the DS graphics, I don't know what it is, it just pushes me away, you know? If I wanted to play a DS game, I'd play a DS game. I want it in my hands and all that. Oh, that segues into the other thing we're not talking about in the news. It's a lot of shit that happened. We're not talking about the news. And that is Microsoft officially finally announcing xCloud. And guess what? They decided to keep the name xCloud, which I'm happy about. Because what could you call it that would have been better than xCloud?
No, like, it rolls off the tongue quite well. I think that's just fine.
Yeah. And they showed off the peripherals. They showed off the Rishi, which is a lot of people are making know, hey, that looks like a Switch. But you know what? They've been doing that for a while now for Androids. The only difference between their Joy-Cons, quote-unquote Joy-Cons, and the Xbox Joy-Cons is it has the Xbox Switch, you know, the Xbox thing that you press in. So it'll cost $100. But, you know what, if you're serious about, you know, I was saying $100 is a bit much, but when I actually started thinking about it, it's sort of like, no, actually, $100 is about right. I mean, a regular controller is $60 to $70, right? So it's not that bad. They also showed what I think looks like a really cheap Bluetooth controller. it's squat and small. It looks like it could break if you looked at it wrong. And there's other stuff, you know. And I'm thinking, you know, there are certain games which I would definitely use this on. You know, I wouldn't do it with Halo, which is one of the games that they announced for it. I would do it for, you know, I don't even know if Slay the Spire is on there, but I'm going to look at the list of games again. So, I mean, I don't play Costume Quest 3, but I can easily see myself using it for that. You know, games like Super Lucky's Tale, yeah. The Wasteland games, definitely. That's the sort of game I would play, you know, on my bed with my Android. So, what did you think?
Of xCloud?
Yeah, the xCloud and the controllers they were showing off for it.
I've always thought that xCloud was a genius idea. Like, it's basically doing Stadia better than Stadia. But
well, that's
like,
the thing. Microsoft said about a year ago that Sony and Nintendo were not their competitors, Google was.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that basically, you know, showed their hand there when they said that.
So, yeah, to see this finally come to fruition and, like, see them go full throttle on it at long last, I am really interested in that. Like,
oh,
it's
that you'd probably be playing a Yakuza 2 on it.
There's a lot of things that I would like to play on this. And again,
Sunset
like
Overdrive,
it's
that's another game I would play on the xCloud.
I really want to see how it handles latency, because that's been the Achilles heel of Google Stadia.
Well, that's the entire point of why Microsoft put so much investment into making that cloud in the first place.
Uh-huh.
But here's the thing about that cloud. I'm wondering if they ever do a Crackdown 4, if it'll use the xCloud to do what they said it would do, and that is, you know, building destruction.
Hmm. That'll be interesting.
Especially with the power of the Xbox Series X. Anyway, I already have Xbox Game Pass Ultimate, so this is basically a value add for me. $15 a month, you know, for Xbox Game Pass Ultimate. And it comes with Xbox Live Gold anyway, so I think this might move people to getting the full Ultimate subscription. I mean, maybe there are people who need to play Destiny 2 wherever they are.
Yeah.
Actually, I know a lot of people who want to play Destiny 2 wherever they are. One of the interesting things is that one of them actually had a charger that goes with it, a battery charger in it, so you could have a long life on your cell phone or tablet. By the way, Microsoft had the same problem with Apple that Google did, which is why it's not on iOS. And once Apple pulls its head out of its ass, this plus iOS will make it explode.
Yeah. It's interesting that they are currently skipping over iOS.
Well, they had a demo of xCloud on iOS back in February, so they already have the tech to do it.
I'm willing to bet it's Apple. I'm willing to bet that it's almost entirely on Apple's side why that's not moving forward.
Because that's why Google's not on it. They had to fight to get certain apps on Apple, if I remember correctly, and I'm trying to remember what it was. There were other people who had problems with Apple with this thing. Oh, Steam. Yeah, having the Steam store on Apple. Valve had to fight tooth and claw for Apple not to take a percentage of their percentage for selling games through, and you can do that, you know, Android says whatever. Which is funny because Google owns Android, and it's like Microsoft's beating Google on their own platform, but I don't think Google cares. Because here's the thing, this is the same thing with the quote-unquote console wars. Microsoft needs Sony and Nintendo to do well. Sony needs Microsoft and Nintendo to do well. Nintendo needs Microsoft and Sony to do well. Just as the same thing, Apple needs Google to do well, and Google needs Apple to do well, you know, because it creates an environment, you know. And people will go into that environment more if they think they have a choice.
Hmm.
I mean, that's why ESA exists in the first place.
Yeah.
So, anyways. It's launching on September 15th.
Yes. It will be interesting to see. Like I said, I've been very interested in seeing the full rollout of this for a long time. I'm really interested to see, like, this is where we see if xCloud and by all accounts, I've heard that xCloud is very good. I've heard that I have heard very little in the way of complaints from people who have tested this. But we'll see. It'll be interesting when it's out in the world and the real stress test begins.
And let's not forget, Microsoft said, you know what, the day one access to Xbox Game Pass goes for xCloud as well. So all the first party games will also be on xCloud. which is big. I mean, when when Avowed comes out, yeah, play it on your Xbox. Go ahead, have fun.
Yeah.
Also, I've never played Rise, Son of Rome, so.
To broaden the horizon.
Yeah. to a mediocre launch title, yeah. Anyways, where were we? I swear I was going to ask you something, but then I went off on this tangent.
We were at we'd been playing Fate to End on Fate Tactics at some point,
yeah,
but I think
we'd stopped that conversation. I went on something. Oh, you know what? Screw it. Let's now go to news. EA Access page is now live on Steam. This comes to us from PC Gamer. Last October, EA said that it was bringing its games back to Steam, and not only that, it announced a plan to bring the subscription-based EA Access service to the storefront as well. At the time, it was expected to arrive in spring 2020, although that plan was eventually pushed back, and while still not live, the Steam pages. There's no mention of pricing on Steam at this point, but Origin Access goes for $5 per month or $30 a year, and EA Access on Steam will probably be the same. It didn't look like EA Access will offer the Premier tier compatible to Origin Access Premier, which is significantly more expensive at $20 a month or $130 per year, but it provides unlimited early access to a wider selection of games, including new releases. So yeah, all the storefronts are starting to merge.
At the very least, EA Access and Steam are.
And GOG and Xbox Live. I haven't seen PSN yet, but I'm pretty sure it exists. That's going to happen too.
Eventually it will be everything else and then Epic Game Store.
Well, you know, I mean, GOG Galaxy 2 has Epic on it as well. I mean,
sure.
They signed that agreement there, too. So everything will be on Galaxy 2.0.
Yeah,
Galaxy
that's true.
Galaxy 2.0 will be the only storefront you need. They don't care, so long as you buy their stuff from their thing. You know, if you buy Steam games through Galaxy, they don't care.
Yeah. Wait, do they actually make the money on that if you buy a Steam game through GOG? I wonder about that.
I think they don't. What they do get is people using their storefront and therefore seeing their deals. I mean, I bought Colonization on GOG, not Steam.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And that's a simple fact of the matter, is when it comes to super old games, you can rely on GOG copies to work, no matter what.
Yeah, I mean, Colonization is on Steam too, but GOG is also DRM, completely DRM free. Steam has their own version of DRM, being the entire Steam service. So yeah. I'd rather go to GOG, and they update their shit a lot. So let's move on to the next item, which I know you're probably excited about.
Injustice 3, featuring the Watchmen, has been seemingly teased from PC Gamer. Artist Boss Logic, a.k.a. Nikolai Beslogic, has posted an intriguing image on Twitter that teases Injustice 3. Technically, it's spelled Injustice 3. But we can't bring ourselves to type that more than once. It's not clear that this is official, but Boss Logic has done lots of official artwork for games, including the Assassin's Creed Valhalla reveal, and plenty of Street Fighter art. There's also a little matter of DC's upcoming Fandom event on August 22nd, so the timing seems about right. Boss Logic also seems to be attending the virtual event, and he's tagged NetherRealm Studios creative director Ed Boon. A big old clock dominates the image, which could be a reference to the Watchmen sequel Doomsday Clock. There's also the little smiley on the left-hand side of the clock, which is a dead ringer for the yellow badge that Watchmen's comedian wears.
I love Injustice 2. I don't play it as much anymore because I'm cooling off on fighting games right now. Usually it goes in cycles for me. But yeah, I'll be all in on Injustice 3.
There's I don't know how I feel about if the Watchmen would be there.
Well, here's the thing. I know what Injustice 3 is going to be about. Injustice 3 is going to be about the Crisis on Infinite Earths, because it was already about that in Injustice 2, which explains why you have Superman fighting Superman, or Batman fighting Batman, or Supergirl fighting Power Girl.
So, mm-hmm.
And you have that mode in which you go into these different Earths, Earth this, Earth that, Earth that. What it's going to be is it's going to be a Crisis on Infinite Earths story. And, not for nothing, I hope they redeem Injustice Superman, for crying out loud. It is boring to watch an evil Superman, I'm sorry to say. Just let him redeem himself already.
Also, it's weird that they went the route where, like, evil Superman is just straight-up canon, and the good Superman has ceased to exist.
Well, no, the thing is that it's still in the quote-unquote Injustice universe, so our Superman is still out there, we just don't see him.
Uh-huh.
You know? There's just so many times our Superman can come in there and smack him down a bit and go back to his Earth, you know? It'd be like sort of like taking a newspaper to a dog and just whacking him over the head and saying, bad Superman, bad. There's some stuff they gotta, you know. And the thing is that during Injustice 2, they kept on hinting that Superman was starting to realize, you know, he was in the wrong. Like that entire thing with the Justice League table, you know.
Right. And then he would go back, and then we'd go right back to, no, this is the way things have to be.
Yeah, but here's the thing. I'm pretty sure the Batman ending is canonical. So
I agree.
But the only thing is that, seriously, they done Wonder Woman dirty wrong in those games.
She is a wretched bitch, like irredeemable.
Yeah, I mean, they actually, I will say this, the Injustice comic books are a lot better story than the, basically because, it's not Tom Tyler, damn it, it's someone else. Anyways, the writer of those comic books is a lot smarter than video game writers, and they actually wrote a reason why she's like that, and that's basically because Steve Trevor turned out to be a Nazi spy and used her and really made her bitter. But even there's one issue of Injustice 2 which I suggest you have to read, and it's about Damian Wayne, and when Batman lets him patrol for the first time, and he tells him, okay, you know what? I want you to go from that point back to the Batcave in 2 hours. I think it's 2 hours. And Damian's like, psh, piece of cake. It takes him, I believe, 23 hours to do it. Why? Because he keeps on stops and helping people. And Damian comes back thinking he failed. But you know what? He didn't fail.
Uh-huh.
Alfred informs him, you know what? It took Master Wayne 36 hours in his first time trying to do that. Also, a woman gave him a $5 bill as payment for his help, which he didn't want, but she forced him to keep it. And what happens is, back in the present, you know, the Injustice, Bruce still has that $5 bill framed. So, It gives a lot of heartwarming backstory to Damian Wayne's character, which makes it depressing knowing what happens with Damian Wayne in Justice 2.
Yeah.
But you have to read that issue. It is so well written. You couldn't believe that it was part of the same universe as the Netherrealm.
Well, let's get to the Watchmen, though. Do you care about the Watchmen in Injustice 3, or do you have an opinion on the matter?
You know, people say, oh, DC stole Alan Moore's characters. A little history here. The Watchmen were supposed to be Charlton Comics characters. Captain Atom, Blue Beetle, etc., The Question, and all that stuff. As a matter of fact, Rorschach is The Question, and so on and so forth. And DC said, you know what, no, we have plans for these characters, so why don't you make characters who are based on these characters? So Alan Moore was perfectly willing to give here's the thing, Watchmen was a big middle finger to Steve Ditko with both barrels. Because the Rorschach being a nutty idiot in that comic because the question was supposed to be Steve Ditko's ideal objectivist character, and the entire Watchmen was two middle fingers to objectivism, saying, fuck you, Steve Ditko. So Alan Moore has no right to complain, because he's complaining about DC doing what he did to Steve Ditko. And let's not even forget about League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is a bunch of other characters he decided to use. The main issue with Watchmen and why Alan Moore is angry is that DC said, when these characters are put to pasture, when the Watchmen universe is put to pasture, you can have them for yourself and you can do whatever you want with them. Here's the big problem. The Watchmen became extremely popular, which meant DC kept on reprinting the Watchmen over and over and over and over, meaning Alan Moore never got the characters back, and will never get them back, because now you have Doomsday Clock. So that's why Alan Moore is really angry, because he can't have access to those characters, because DC owns them. Well, he can't have access, but he doesn't have full control over them. So now, I don't really care. I liked what... I forgot his name. The writer of Doomsday Clock. His name is on the tip of my tongue. Geoff Johns. I like what Geoff Johns did with the story. It was a fine story. Unfortunately, it came drawn out, and it became overshadowed by Heroes in Crisis. Everybody hated. And then they had to create Flash Forward just to make sure nothing in Heroes in Crisis ever happened. So they're retconning their own retcon. But the reason for it is that Dan DiDio hated Wally West. He hated all the legacy characters, hated them to death. And it's no small wonder that Dan DiDio was shown the door this year. Get out. Get out. Goodbye, Dan DiDio. And all of it was because of Heroes in Crisis. If you're a comic book fan out there, feel free to write in the comments what you think of this. I will say that a lot of people have strong opinions about Heroes in Crisis, and none of them are positive. Did you know anything about Heroes in Crisis?
No, I don't know much about it.
Okay. Let's just say Wally West gets fucked in the ass and with a rusty dildo.
Dang.
That's not what literally happens. That's just what metaphorically happens to him. And the thing is that DC Rebirth prominently had Wally West as the central figure. And in Doomsday Clock, you don't see him at all. And that was not Geoff Johns' choice. So anyways, getting back to Injustice 3.
I don't know. Like, I don't mind the Watchmen movies, or the Watchmen movie, I guess. I haven't actually had a chance to watch the miniseries, but I don't know.
Mixing is really good.
Mixing those characters with DC has always just sounded weird to me.
Well, they mixed them with Shazam, which was also a comic book character from a different comic book company that DC stole.
I guess that's true. I don't know much about Shazam, though.
Here's the thing, though. There's no indication that the Watchmen characters will become a permanent part of the DC universe. Like, you're not going to see Dr. Manhattan around, because the thing is, they're copies of copies. So, as they are. But if you ever read Doomsday Clock, they work really well. The story that really works very well, and it's the only time you'll see Lex Luthor calling someone a goddamn asshole. spoiler: it's the last issue, and he's pointing a gun at the comedian and calling him. I normally never use a speech like this, but you goddamn asshole, and he fires. And basically, what it is, it's a vibrational gun. It sends him back to his point of origin in another universe. And that point of origin is him falling from a window that you see in Watchmen. Yeah, we're going to send you back to your point of origin, which happened to have been when you got pushed out a window by Ozymandias.
Yes. It will, like, if you're going to bring all the characters in, then you pretty much have to have Comedian. And bonus points if you can get a... If you can get the guy back for him.
I will say this, though. Mime and Marionette will be the most memorable Watchmen characters you ever know of, even though they never appeared in the original book. And Mime and Marionette are basically Punch and Julie from DC. They're just the reverse. Because all the characters in Watchmen are basically different versions of, like, Captain Atom is Dr. Manhattan. So you have Punch, Mime and Marionette, and they give a Joker a run for his money.
Yeah, there are some interesting characters in that universe.
Yeah. Like I said, just read Doomsday Clock. You won't feel... The only thing you'll feel is maybe... Here's the thing. I know they put out the first half of Doomsday Clock, and they're going to put out the second half. I hope they put a prequel, which includes stories like The Button and all that stuff, because the only problem I have with Doomsday Clock is it requires a lot of knowledge about the DC Universe to get a lot out of it. You'll still get a great story out of it, but if you don't know what's going on, say The Button, you know. Anyways, we're going to move on to the next item. We could talk about comics all night, and we're not going to. Xbox Series S name pops up on Microsoft's next-gen controller packaging, and this comes from some Eurogamer. Microsoft's Under Wraps Xbox Series S has been officially named for the first time on a box for the company's new controller. A white version of Microsoft's Xbox Series X pad was obtained by Twitter user Zach_Exe and was subsequently verified by The Verge. This controller, a robot white version of the black Xbox Series X pad previously shown, has yet to be announced, but it is the controller's box of which is most interest. The packaging on states the device is for Xbox Series X/S, Xbox One, Windows 10, Android, and iOS. And I think I'm going to interrupt here. I think we're burying the headline over here. iOS, which basically tells me that the controller is also Bluetooth. And didn't they say that all the Xbox Series X gamepads are going to be Bluetooth?
Yes.
Okay. Microsoft has yet to announce the Xbox Series S, a lower-powered version of the forthcoming Series X, which Eurogamer understands will be offered at a significantly lower price point. As Eurogamer reported in June, the second console was once planned for an E3 2020 reveal before that event was canceled and plans changed. And if you see the box, it has a crap ton of information on it that you would normally see on a box. Like, it shows that, yes, it uses USB-C, and it has, you know, and all that, you know, the side information. So it looks extremely legit. And I'm glad there's a white controller. I like the look of a white controller when you have a black console. Although, you know what, I'm willing to bet you there's going to be another thing in which you can just make your own Xbox controller, whatever colors you want, from their little factory. You want a pink one with blue buttons? Okay.
Yeah. It'll be, like... we've been talking about this for a while. We always thought that this was good. This is the thing that we've been talking about for a while, is what was called Lockhart, right?
Yep.
And I guess they're now calling the Xbox Series X, like, itself Scorpio?
The Project Scorpio edition I have of the Xbox Series X, yes.
Well, I'm glad to see that there's going to be... still no sign of prices, though. Nobody's saying prices.
Yeah, and... completely forgot. Sony had their little thing last... What was it? Friday? Was it Friday?
Thursday.
Yeah, Sony had their little thing on Thursday. But none of it was really memorable to me. I mean, I remember seeing Braid remastered.
Bugsnax mattered.
What?
Bugsnax.
Oh, okay.
the new game from the folks behind Octodad.
I know. But I don't know. I think there's a problem here. Without an actual show, things are just going in one ear and out the other. I mean, I can't even remember the name of the game that Rare is making. You know, the Druids, you know, and all that stuff. I mean, I remember the big names. I remember Halo, Fable, well, Avowed because it's Obsidian.
I remember Outer Wilds 2. Yeah, I was going to say, I remember Everwild because it was my favorite thing from the Xbox
Everwild,
showcase. But honestly speaking, like, no, the PlayStation presentation this last week, not all that impressive. There was a whole bunch of things, and very little of it was felt like it mattered. And the only handful of things that stood out to me was more Bugsnax news, because I love seeing more things on that.
And you also like eating bugs.
So, well, only if they're kind of bug and kind of snack. but the also Splatoon or not Splatoon, Spelunky 2 appearance. Yes. I was really happy to see that show up in that thing, and they announced that it was going to get online multiplayer.
Didn't they? I could have sworn it was announced 3 weeks ago.
It was announced before, but this time they announced that it was going to have online multiplayer. That was the big reveal here.
There wasn't in Spelunky 1? Really?
Nope. Just local.
Because I own Spelunky. I could have sworn there. Oh, well.
It was just local multiplayer.
Okay.
And so now they're going to have online multiplayer. And they gave it a September 15th release date. Mm. I'm super happy to see that game around. It's going to be really fun, and I can't wait to jump into that. Yeah. It's like the amount of interactivity the guy is putting into that game is super fun. Also, there was one other thing. Oh, gosh. It just fell off the top of my head.
You know, I'm pretty sure the Cyberpunk 2077 thing is more fresh in your mind.
I was going to say Godfall came up, but like that was boring. Godfall introduced all of its weapons classes, and the weapons classes were sword, two swords, larger sword, sword on a stick, and hammer. Like, come on.
You know, I'm looking for the and they still say that reports suggested that the PS5 is still gonna cost $500, and the PS5 digital edition will cost $400. And I think they're not announcing anything until Microsoft shows its hand.
Yeah, this is a high stakes game of chicken. Nobody wants to announce first and get everybody mad at them at how expensive it's going to be.
Well, I hope it keeps it up, because that'll force Microsoft to say, okay, we're going to sell it for $400. We're going to sell it for $400, take a hit. I think, you know what, I think the number of people getting Xbox Game Pass on September 15th will dictate how much the Xbox Series X costs. I think if there's a huge subscription boost, they're going to say, screw it, $400.
Yeah.
Because consoles are basically loss leaders anyway.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. But right now it's really annoying because we are literally, 4 months away from launch? No, maybe even less than that. Maybe 3. And we still don't have a price.
The one thing I wanted to see from Sony was MLB The Show. For obvious reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be on Xbox, so why not? They showed a new NBA 2K21 trailer. And finally showing a little bit of gameplay. And it looks really good. I mean, it looks fantastic. It's just a pity I won't be buying it because of fucking VC.
Yeah.
VC ruins everything. I also saw a PGA Tour 2K21. And I was surprised. It's actually the golf club, but licensed with PGA. So apparently 2K bought... got the developers of the golf club and said, hey, okay, you can make our golf game for us. And they're using the golf club and just using it for PGA Tour. The one thing I'm hoping is that I hope they improved the golf swinging, because I remember not liking it at all in the golf club. So, but yeah, I'm definitely going to rent it and see if I want to keep it. Because I like golf career modes. And it does have a golf career mode. And I always, you know, here's the thing. I always love, of all sports announcers, I love golf announcers the best.
Yeah?
Yeah. Ooh, I just got it right on the green.
I would be okay with a officially licensed golf game again. Like, the fact of the matter is there hasn't been one since, Well, I guess
Tiger Woods on EA, and that was a disaster.
Yeah, like the dude went through Scandal, and then also the game sucked the year after that.
Yeah, the scandal was that the Wii version. So PGA Tour 2K21 is coming out on 21st, so in 11 days. And it was like they just basically cut and paste the same game with no improvements. So, yeah, I mean, the person asked is former co-host Jordan, because he knew. He was the one who was laughing and the most outraged about it in a laughing way. There's also, oh, God, and we should really talk about Madden, because people, I know a lot of people are giving Madden both barrels right now, and deservedly so, for that matter. It is shaping up to be awful. Absolutely awful. And one of the things that disturbed me, and I want to get your reaction on this, is that one Mutt player said, you know what, when Madden comes out, don't even bother playing any modes, just plunk down $100 on buying Mutt cards, and then just jump into it.
Yeah, that sounds like a Madden game these days. Which is sad.
It's... And then there was this comment in YouTube saying that this kid said, oh, it was on Twitter, he said, well, I'm going to buy $200 worth of Mutt cards. And one person said, well, gee, what's it called? You know, that's a significant amount from your, you know, what kind of job you have? He says, no, I don't have a job. I'm just going to get it from my parents. I wonder if his parents know that this is gambling.
I wonder if his parents know that he's taking their credit card and buying Mutt cards.
I wonder if here's the thing. I think they imply that they know that he wants the money for it, but maybe it's just spread out. You know, I don't think it's going to be all one day, but that Mutt card player saying, hey, just don't even bother with the other modes, just pay $100 on top of the $70 to $100 you're already spending on the game before you even play a single mode.
Boo. Boo.
Well, it's not boo, EA, boo. It's boo, this guy, boo. Here's the thing. The executives at EA don't know a fucking thing about football. Let's forget about the fact the gameplay is awful. But if people are spending $800 million on Mutt cards, what do you think they're going to say?
Yeah. And then they're fucking doing shit like putting DJ Khaled into the game and making him look... And they make DJ Khaled look more like his model, look more like him than any of the actual players look like them. It's just fucking ridiculous.
And then you have the hashtag fix the franchise. And here's the thing is that EA says, oh, we hear your things. And then they release what updates are coming. Things are changing for fix the franchise. And it's like this shit is not fixing anything. Oh, great. We'll be able to see past records of players. So fucking... Oh, we can see which teams are going to the playoffs? That's a new feature? Seriously? Mm. Really? That all this cosmetic bullshit and nothing to change it. And here's the thing. I generally don't give a shit if the franchise mode is bad. It's the gameplay that's fucking awful.
Mm-hmm.
You're building a franchise on a bad house. I mean, if you want to see, just go to YouTube and look at Madden glitches and some of the problems that would have never gotten past any sort of QR. I'm telling you right now, if the game had any QR, now QR just means it doesn't crash when you boot it. There is absolutely no quality control at all, period, end of story. And I think it's because, you know, beta testers cause problems. They make us delay the game because they find things that are wrong with the game. We can't have that kind of delay.
Yeah. You gotta make a yearly game. Copy and paste whatever you need to.
Hey, Mutt players, guess what? You spent like $500 on getting spend $500 again the next year because the stuff you've bought for $500 is worth jack and shit now. And, oh, by the way, they're closing the server, so fuck you, you can't play online. And it was a dick move closing the server so that I couldn't create new games for NCAA Football 14. That they did last year. And that requires almost no server space. And even if it did, why not just update the game so that I can save it on my own hard drive? There's nothing on my 360 hard drive anymore. It's just, you know, cracked. Oh, and that's the other thing which made me grin. I don't know if you saw this, but 2K signed a licensing deal with the NFLPA.
I didn't. Oh, yes, we talked about this a little bit
before. So what that means is that you can have real players. And here's a little thing, who gives a shit about real teams? Because you can always edit those names. And if you ever saw All-Star Football 2K8, the fake team fake teams look like the real teams from you know, normal camera view. You know, it's only when you get the close-ups that you can see it. That's not a Giants helmet. That's not a Broncos helmet. That's not a Cowboys helmet. They still look like the teams, and all you have to do is change the names of the teams, which I'm pretty sure they'll let you do. So, and here's the most damning part of it. NFL players are getting hyped over an NFLPA 2K game. And saying they'll play that instead of Madden.
Yeah, because Madden is shit, and you might, like, at least 2K isn't much better, because, like, I mean, 2K NBA
Here's
exists.
The thing. Okay, let me say this, okay? 2K may be beholden to microtransactions, and NBA 2K is so glommed with it disrupts everything about the game. But, the core gameplay, the actual basketball gameplay, when it's not distorted, is extremely realistic and satisfying. Madden gameplay sucks ass. You can run the same play over and over and over and over again. There's no defense for it. I forgot the name of the thing, but it's the one in which you have the tight end split right. You have the slot receiver go up and then slot right. And you have the two outside wide receivers go up and slot right as well. That play is indefensible. There's no defense that can stop it, which is completely realistic, I mean, in football, right? When you play the same play over and over and over again, no one can stop it. No one can formulate a defense to stop a simple play.
Yeah, you can't just have your players guard that against specifically that play.
The only play that got almost that status was with the Green Bay Packers and their power sweep. But even then, they found a way to defend against that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, there's not much you can do when you have five big bubbles running at you with a wide receiver with the running back behind them. But they did find a way to disrupt that, so you don't see it as much.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a reason why, like, the wishbone isn't found in the NFL, because if you try the wishbone in the NFL, they'll cut you down. You know?
Yeah.
So, like I said, you know, here's the problem with damaging the brand. When someone else does it better, people will run away from you like nothing else. And I will tell you something. I actually, when I was playing it, preferred Madden over 2K from 2K to, like, 2K until... Well, obviously it stopped at 2K5, but I'm just saying, you know... I played Madden 2005, not 2K5, because there are things... The way 2K5 played irritated the heck out of me. There are certain things. I liked Madden's fluidity Madden 2005, and it was feature-rich. So I said, you know, I'll play Madden 2005, because I could also, you know... And now? No. No, 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 no. I'm not going to play Madden, because it doesn't feel like real football. You can't do a fade route. You can't even do a fade route. You can't even do a real Hail Mary. And all the scripting in it. They showed a video in which before a field goal block, the game will decide you're being blocked before you even kick the ball, because you'll see one of the outside linemen twitch. And if you see him twitch, it's going to be blocked.
Oh, that's a bummer.
Oh, and I also saw a video in which... the game had already decided there's going to be a sack. So what happens is the player had the quarterback, pitch it to the running back. The ball was halfway to the running back, but then animated backwards back into the quarterback so he could be sacked.
That's fucking lame.
Everything is scripted in that freaking game. Everything. It's just awful. And here's the thing. I cannot think that, even if I wanted to, the 8th generation, the Xbox One, PS5 versions of Madden, to anyone is going to be any good. Because you know that they were spending all their time working on the Xbox Series X, PlayStation 5 version. There's no way they put any effort into the old Madden 21. It's going to be even more hot shit.
Yeah.
And I laugh when they say, well, we're going to fix Madden for 21. No, you're not. It's fucking 2 months. You're not going to fix anything. You don't have wizards there. You're already crunching. Let's see, the only thing you could do was cosmetic shit. And the ratings for Madden has been going down and down and down and down. But you know what really irritates me? I was reading the review for Madden 20 from IGN. Gave it an 8.0. And all the shit that was awful, that people lambasted, the reviewer said, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. Is it any wonder that they took, that if you go to that review now, you know what's missing? Reviewer's name.
Huh.
Apparently no one reviewed it. I know who reviewed it because I just have to go to the Wayback Machine. But that review was so bad, they actually pulled the reviewer's name off it. So he wouldn't, because I'm pretty sure, I'm willing to bet you that the reviewer's name continued to be there, he would have still gotten hate mail and Twitter messages like nothing else. It is just awful. The Chicago Tribune was the only negative review I could find in Madden 20. And they lambasted it. Everybody else was praising it. And here's the thing. You cannot trust gaming sites for sports game reviews. Ever. One, they don't care about them. Two, they're not experts in sports. And three, they don't give a shit. I'm not going to go into this conspiracy that like EA pays them to give a good review. No, they don't. They don't need to. They just don't care.
I mean, not to rep my brand, but Shaq News lambasted the shit out of Madden 20.
I haven't read the review, so.
I
have to wonder how much time they play with it too, because if you're going to praise the franchise mode in a big way in Madden 20, I can't imagine you spent more than 5 minutes.
The short list, Madden NFL 20 review, no love for the game. Most egregious.
Later. Here's the thing. Everybody, if you want to read, just go to Shaq News and search for Madden 20 review.
4 out of 10.
That's kind of high. You were generous. You were very generous. 19 was worse. Maybe 20 was... But 19 scored higher than 20. Here's the thing, the only thing that the EA cares about is money, and unless people not buy Madden at all, then they're not going to care until someone else eats their lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And I said this before weeks ago, the very fact that NFL is allowing 2K to make a licensed non-simulation game told me they were firing a shot across EA's bow. Mm-hmm. They were talking, you better do this right. We're getting sick of this. Because NFL, as bad as it can be, you know what their number one goal is? Protect the shield. And if EA is not protecting the shield, then they're just going to say, we're going to find someone who can do it better.
Yeah.
And I think the only thing they'll impose is, don't you dare sell for $20 again. Don't you dare sell your football game for $20 again. It'll be full price or even overpriced, And a lot of people are complaining about $70 price tag. I don't care. It should have been $70 a while ago. It should be $80 now if you really want to talk about it. So long as it's a full game, you sell whatever you want. I spent $84 on Ultima 4 back in 1984, which is $135 in today money. And I tell you this, you know, Ultima 4 is 784K storage. K. Having it on a 4-gigabyte thumb drive would be too much. I could email you Ultima 4, and it'd be a tiny little file no one would care about. Oh, there's Scott, and he was asleep. Of course he was. Let's call him, because you know what? He had things to say about Fey Tactics, so.
Oh, okay.
Let's get him on the line. Should be calling. It's dialing. Anyways. So yeah, I mean, it's just going to be a matter of someone coming up with a better product. And, you know, the same thing happened with Sony, too, from MLB.
Mm-hmm.
MLB just said, you know what, you're going to make this multi-platform. We don't give a shit about the console wars. We're not making enough money on this. So you're going to make it for every console. You're going to make it for Switch. You're going to make it for PC. You're going to make it for the Xbox. We don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they could just, you know what? You know, EA wants to make a baseball game. 2K wants to make a baseball game. Hello.
Hello.
So, Scott, have you played Fey Tactics yet?
No, not yet. I have not.
Okay, well, Scott, TJ was raving about it earlier, so.
Yeah, I've been playing that game a lot lately. It's amazing.
It does look good. I saw a video, but I didn't bought it to play yet. I've been playing more Cold Steel. Got to, like, I think it's chapter 3 or 4. And they do this, like, a couple, I guess, days on school campus, and then they go on a field trip, and I think it was chapter 3 where they finally let you go to a part of the country that's, like, very wide open.
Wait, which game is this again?
Cold Steel.
Okay, for what? I thought you were talking about Persona 4 Golden or something.
No. No. Yeah, so chapter 3, I think, is where you go on these field trips, and I guess they call them field studies, and you go to this different part of their country each time. So I guess,
do you know this game, TJ?
Cold Steel? No, I don't.
Oh, okay.
It's basically the fourth game, I guess, of the Trials, series.
Trials of Cold Steel. Okay.
Yeah, Trials of Cold Steel. And it comes after Trials of the Sky. And like I was saying, you get to ride a horse, which is kind of neat to... It's like a mid-game mechanic where you get to finally ride a horse and go into more open area of the game. So before, it's very, like, limited. You know, you have one dungeon and a town, and then, you know, it kind of repeats that process. But then this chapter, you get a little bit more open. So it's pretty cool to, you know, you get to ride a horse, and pretty cool on in the game.
I noticed that the combat has a combat wheel.
Yeah. You can spin the wheel to pick an icon for what action you want to do, whether it's crafts, arts, items, or attacking. And what's neat is that you link, as you go through the game, you have character links between your characters, and you can, I guess when they activate, you can signal them to attack, or they'll do an all-out attack. I think they'll even use arts to help you, you know, do bigger attacks when you use the actions.
Excuse me. You know, we didn't discuss, by the way, is we didn't discuss Cyberpunk 2077 that much. So, TJ, what did you think of the massive amount of videos that they released for that game?
I liked the music. I actually enjoyed the musical segment. I enjoyed the work that they're putting in with the... it's a Swedish punk band called Refused, and they're basically that band is taking on the role of an endgame band called Samurai, which is kind of like big to the cyberpunk lore. And it's kind of, they talked about how weird it is that like you're a band playing another band in a video game, but also like the interesting aspect of like creating for the perspective of a character that's creating music.
I actually liked seeing the three origin stories. The
yes,
either you're a street punk, or a nomad, or a corporate punk.
Yes, and it's going to have very, 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 very big implications as to what kind of dialogue and understanding of situations that you have.
Yeah, I mean, I like the nomad origin best, and you know, there was a poll, and it looks like I was part of the majority. I mean, 50% of people thought the nomad origin was the most interesting, and I can see why too, because in all three stories you're an outsider, but in the nomad story you're an outsider as an outsider. You're doubly outsidered.
Hey, I thought it was interesting. You said there's a corporate punk, so yeah, I guess
yeah,
you
so
were
you start as someone in the as a business person.
Okay.
Yes. You, there is essentially a I was just following orders backstory in Cyberpunk.
Yeah, I mean, most of that sort of seemed to be in everybody's in suits in this building. I also liked seeing the weapons, the kind of weapons you have. Of course, the last weapons they saw were the ones that are built into you, if you want, like blades built into your arms or a gun built into your wrist, that sort of stuff. And yeah, there's going to be a lot of body horror in this game.
Yeah, a lot of modifications and cybernetic stuff, so that'll remind me a bit of Shadowrun, where you get to have cybernetic.
In Shadowrun, you had people taking out their entire face and replacing it with a camera.
There was stuff similar.
Well, Shadowrun, though, you know, is basically AD&D of the future. It's sort of like we're in a cyberpunk world, and oh, by the way, everybody, you know, there, something happened that released all the magic back, and all the people who were actually transformed, who were actually goblins and elves and orcs and all that stuff, turned back into their goblins, elves, orcs, you know, sort of thing, and a dragon is ruling everything, blah, 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 blah. Cyberpunk is just straight up, yeah, everything sucks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Cyberpunk is also, you know, is also created by Mike Pondsmith, who's been going heavy with the BLM stuff lately, which is cool.
Yeah.
So.
But it was a good presentation. They had a lot of good stuff to show. Like I said, I enjoyed the music segments, but I did also enjoy the backstory stuff. And the weapons looked good. I was happy to see that in action.
I tried not to absorb too much of it because I still want a fresh experience. I mean, I tolerated the origin stuff because it's just, you know, yeah, it's just snippets of what's going to happen, but it's not really what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Anyways, so yeah, hopefully, getting back to the previous topic, which Scott missed, yeah, I hope Madden dies. It crashes and burns in the next 2 years.
They're working on it.
I just, you know, just...
I sit this long.
I just want it to crash and burn so they can start from scratch.
Well, then somebody will have to do it better, so you better cross your fingers for 2K to knock it out of the park.
Yeah, but like I said, you know, 2K is making everybody assume it's going to be sort of like a Blitz game, which is fine. You know, I mean, Madden is now a Blitz game, whether they want to admit it or not. It has about as much in common with football like Blitz does. So or NFL Street. Did 2K do NFL Street? I believe they did. Who did NFL Street?
That was EA.
It was? Okay. I'm just saying, yeah, if 2K wants to make an NFL Street game, I mean, there's going to be a lot of people who will say yes, please.
Pretty sure that was one of the EA big titles.
No, the big EA Street title was their Soccer Street title.
Oh no, I'm saying the it was called EA Big.
No, it was called NFL Street. I mean, it became no EA Big was basically their version of Blitz.
I'd have to look this up because I'm almost certain that most of the Street games were EA Big.
No, it was NFL Street, NFL Street 2, NFL Street 3, and then it was gone. EA big was a different thing. It was more cartoon.
Oh, it was Tiberon.
Yeah. Anyways, thanks for the cameo from Scott this week. Which we knew would happen. Look for our show notes at GamingPodcast.net, along with industry news and our gaming history articles. If you enjoy feedback, so leave comments on our blog at GamingPodcast.net. Also, hit us up at Facebook.com/GamingPodcast. Subscribe to us on iTunes. Leave some iTunes comments. And, yeah, I strongly suggest to us, Scott, that you try Fate Tactics. If you enjoyed having a Nintendo DS and enjoyed Final Fantasy Tactics, but also want to get some Persona/Pokemon feels to it, I think you should try it out.
It's very good.
I did want to mention that there was a you could capture monsters in the original Final Fantasy Tactics.
It wasn't quite the same thing. This one is more of a Pokemon feel when you get a card.
I would slightly disagree, but it's pretty good. Like the amount of depth, it guides you into everything very well. It's very intuitive, and then the amount of depth is very good. And also, it does a good job of subverting a lot of things I hate about about tactics games.
By the way, now that I think about it, you know what, Scott, you maybe should wait for the inevitable Switch version, because we were talking about xCloud before, and I think Fae Tactics would be the sort of game that you'd want to play on your bed, just chilling out on your bed playing it, that kind of game.
Yeah, I could see that. It's very nice to have mobile mobility with a lot of these games. That does seem like wonderful. Once we could just relax anywhere with that game.
Well, you know, September 15th, I'll be able to do that. But I need a Bluetooth controller first. I think I'm just going to wait for the Xbox Series X, which comes with a Bluetooth controller. Who knows? Maybe I will get the Switch-like things to put on either side of your Android. Although I think you can plug in your controller directly into the cell phone. I'm not sure, though. I'd have to find out. Anyways, you can find me at Twitter, at Jonah Falcon.
You can find me at Johnny Chugs.
You can find me at Alpha Shard.
And you will see all three of us next week, I'm pretty sure.
Happy gaming, everyone.
Have fun, be cool, play games, y'all.